All right, here we are. Week 7, show number 7. Sette. Buonasera. Here we are. This is the Gil Can Run Show. I am Gil. I'm wearing my New Haven Road Race shirt from last year. I don't know if I'm going to run the New Haven Road Race this year. I haven't signed up for it yet. Last 2 years, it's been massively, horribly humid. It's a very nice race, but the weather has not been cooperative. The weather around New England come Labor Day is usually pretty rough, and it's a tough race. And last year I had a horrible asthma attack. I made a new friend because of the asthma attack, but I had a horrible asthma attack. It was a horrible race and I hated it. But it's a nice race. I mean, it really is. It's got a really good after party. New Haven is mostly beautiful. And it's a pretty flat course too, so some fast times. It's actually like the national championship 20K or something like that. Yeah, national championship 20K, which is just shy of a half marathon. So it's pretty cool, but I haven't decided if I'm going to bother running it again. So this weekend, no real races except for the Brantford Road Race. I'm not doing like any marathons this weekend. Brantford Road Race, the reason I'm doing Brantford Road Race is it's my first race. It was the first race I ever ran. It was the first race I was ever exposed to. I think I already went over this, where my uncle owned the house that was right at the mile one marker, and we would do the water station. We would hand out water. It was very cool. So, and there's a whole strawberry festival. I don't really eat anything at the strawberry festival, and I really should, but I don't. Because I am so concerned about my diet, my caloric intake and everything like that. And just everything there is kind of tasty and fried and massive and bad for you. And, you know, what are you going to do? It's a New England agricultural festival. That is the way that it goes. And, yeah, if you've never been to New England, if you've never done like the New England thing, like all the food here will kill you. Okay. We are horrible. Connecticut, I believe, eats more ice cream per capita than anywhere else in the country. We are massive ice cream freaks. You know, ice cream here is unlike anywhere. And I've been all across the country. I've been from, you know, sea to shining sea. I haven't been to Alaska. I haven't been to Hawaii. I really need to make it to Hawaii. No offense to anyone in Alaska. I don't really care. It's big and kind of empty and... what, you know, there's minerals and wildlife and mountains. Ooh, you know, like, I don't know, there's just really nothing that really interests me in Alaska because I'm allergic to nature, right? Like, I love nature and I want to do, like, I want this world to be more natural and nice and everything, but the fact is that everything in nature's out to kill me, and one day it's gonna win. But I want to have that off as far as it can be. That's also generally why I shy away from trail races, because of my allergies. I would end up with massive, you know, asthma attacks. I wouldn't be able to breathe. Life would not be fun. Life would not be good. And then God forbid something scratches me or something like that, I'm going to break out. It's going to be a mess. I'm not going to have fun. It's going to hurt. And that's not cool. That's just me. It's unfortunate, but that's me. I'm allergic to, like, everything, and it's, like, bad. So I have to take that into account, and I miss out. Seriously, I miss out. So, speaking of environment, the Pope's encyclical on the environment and a whole bunch of other things and how he views the environment and what he wants the church to teach about the environment. I am Catholic, so, you know, I kind of pay attention to these things. Came out today. Good for him. Good for everyone that somebody's standing up, somebody of authority. And he is an authority. He actually has a technical degree in chemistry. So, like, he is a scientist. It's not like he doesn't have a PhD in chemistry, but he is a scientist. If you have a degree in a science, you are a scientist. Like, that is that. Some websites are, whoa, it's just a technical degree. It doesn't count. No, he studied, he understands the scientific process, he has followed the scientific process, he gets how experimentation works, he understands what a theory actually is. When someone says, in like colloquial parlance, I have a theory that such and such, and it's wild conjecture. That is not a theory. Conjecture. Nice. I have been drinking, believe it or not. That is not a theory. Okay, that is a hypothesis. A theory is a hypothesis that has been tested and proven to bear out in the data. Okay, so, you know, and it's been done more than once. You can't just run one experiment and say, oh, well, you know, that shows that this is true. No. Somebody else has to run the experiment. You have to keep reproducing the results. And then your idea becomes a theory. And a theory is pretty much as close as we can get to a fact as there is. Because realistically, when you look at things, there's no real absolutes. Yeah, we can say with certainty that the sun's going to come up tomorrow. But we can't guarantee it. You see what I'm saying here? So, like, not everything is 100%. Nothing is 100%. You never know. We could be completely wrong about our entire perception of reality. It's entirely possible that I am not sitting here right now talking to you. I know. I get it. Like, what? He's sitting there talking, right? Of course. But the fact is, it just might be a matter of our perception, and it might all be a big deception. It might not be real. It's a possibility. Obviously, that's not a possibility that you can work with in this particular state that we're in. So we call facts that which we know we can work with. The world is round. Well, spheroid. You know, the Earth revolves around the sun. Gravity is a thing. Yeah, you know, there is a side of questioning it that actually makes sense and can do good things. But for the most part, for everyone's everyday life, questioning those things doesn't do anyone any good. Because it's just not practical. And that's the thing. And like I was saying last week, you have to have practical knowledge. Just having knowledge without being able to apply it to anything doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do humanity any good. It doesn't do the world any good. It just doesn't do any good. Because then, I mean, you just have a bunch of knowledge. Then you're a library. You sit there and you're full of knowledge. Well, a library doesn't really do anything now, does it? Somebody has to use a library, which is fine. And if you're letting people come to you and disseminating factual information to them, that's fine. Although I know plenty of people that sit there and think that they know a lot and they disseminate information and they don't know jack. And other people are like, oh, yeah, yeah. Because he acts like he knows everything, so obviously he must know everything, and they listen to him. And that's really annoying. But the fact is, Pope, scientist, got some scientists together and said, here's what we need to do to combat this. And that's pretty cool. That's a huge step. There's a lot of things that the church still needs to fix. I shouldn't go on tape saying that, particularly since I'm going to be godfather to my nephew soon. There's other things that they need to fix, okay? Some of the things were said recently that remind me there are things that need to be fixed, but change in the church is very slow. Very, very slow. So take what you can get when you can get it. And right now, I'm taking the climate change thing and I'm running with it. Because it is fantastic. Because we do. We have one place where we live. It is Earth. Oh, well, I'm an American. Well, you live on Earth. Okay? We're not islands unto ourselves. Each nation doesn't have its own, air and water and everything. I mean, we pretend like we do, but we don't. Because the air doesn't know, oh, I'm crossing into Canada now and I'm America's air, I need to stop. The river doesn't know, oh, well, I'm Canada's river and here comes the American border, I need to stop. You know, whales, geese, whatever. They're flying around, they're swimming around, they're doing their thing. They're not like, oh, I'm going into international waters now, I better go back because I'm, you know, I'm France's. Or, you know, I better, you know, turn around here because you know, I don't have a visa to enter Brazil, you know, as a duck, whatever, you know. Animals have no concept of that. When you fly over the earth, they're, I mean, you can sometimes see borders because, like, we've carved borders into things. But if you just left the world as it was and human beings didn't make lines and you flew over the world, you would have no idea where one country started and another one finished. You wouldn't know. Ducks don't know. Whales don't know. Air doesn't know. Water doesn't know. Nothing in the natural world, besides human beings, have any clue that we've crossed any sort of border. Imaginary lines drawn on a map, created by human beings. So, we are all one planet. That is it. We have one planet that we travel around on. We don't even really have a planet. We are the planet. We travel around on it through space. Believe it or not, we're not just rotating around the sun. The sun and the entire solar system is also rotating around the galaxy. I believe currently we're in the Orion arm. I'm not 100%, or we might be in like an offshoot arm. I kind of forget right now. But the point is, we have a location in space, and that location changes constantly. Not only day by day and hour by hour, but century by century. I mean, we're just literally on a spaceship going through outer space. And that's just the way that it is. So, taking that into consideration and considering that we, at this point, don't have any technology to go to another planet to live, regardless of what you think of climate change, okay? Which, if you think for some reason that it's not man-made, really, just hold off on that and we'll get back to that. But maybe not today, but we'll get back to that. Here's the thing, okay? So let's take that right off the table, okay? I have asthma. I know many people with asthma. I know more people have asthma today than had asthma when we were kids. I know that it is going to continue to get worse. I know that the average cough created by the common cold lasts six times longer, but for some reason three times is sticking out of my head, than it did 20 years ago. According to people who study these things, I don't know how they get their data. I guess they ask people, but I gotta tell you, the fact is that we're so worried about quitting smoking, which is good. Please, by all means, quit smoking. I'm not going to get preachy about that, but, you know, if you can, do it. Chantix works very well. But, so you're sitting there, and, you know, air quality keeps getting worse. So no matter what we're doing, whether we're warming the earth or not, we are making air quality much worse. And if you can't tell that, then blow your nose more often and breathe through your nose more often. And you will notice everything stinks. I mean, it just smells bad. And air quality just gets worse. And that's not a good thing. But more than that, once again, throwing climate change off the table. Forget it. Forget I ever said anything. Forget the Pope said anything. Forget anyone said anything. Okay? Please. Water quality. Okay? Used to be, you just go around, pretty much drink out of things. You know, as long as it was running water, you were pretty safe. You can't do that anymore. We got bacterial blooms, and now there were always bacterial blooms in the ocean and stuff, and people would be able to avoid them because they would see them, but they'd be small and concentrated and then dissipate. But, I mean, like, we're changing the chemistry of the water so that these things end up persisting more. Either we're making them stronger by, you know, overuse of things like antibiotics and whatnot, or we're creating chemical imbalances in the water that allow these things to thrive more. So now, you're not so safe when you go out and you just drink water. We gotta filter everything, you know? And that's not good. And that's not the way things are supposed to be. I should be able to plant a garden wherever I want. I shouldn't have to worry that we've put stuff in the soil that is going to poison anything that grows there, which we do. Southern Italy has a big problem with that, because they found out that a lot of the mafia guys, I hate using that term, but that's the way I have to describe them, a lot of the mafia guys were going around getting contracts to dispose waste, dangerous, hazardous waste. That's the term, hazardous. They were getting, you know, contracts to get rid of hazardous waste. And what were they doing? They were digging holes in the ground, throwing it in there, and covering it up. That's what they did. And now there are places where people are getting really sick because they did this. And you can't do that. You know. Well, great, they made a bunch of money. Well, when their kids start getting sick, what are they going to do? So now they've poisoned the land. And next thing you know, the kids are going to get sick. And what's all that money going to do for them? Nothing. Niente. That's what. Because it's just, you know, it's nothing. It's man-made. Money, we think of it like, oh my God, we have to make money. Well, you know, it's all in our head. It's imaginary. It's fake. The value of a dollar or euro or whatever is simply determined by people's faith in it based on the debt. Believe it or not, your money, and we talk about debt all the time, and old debt's horrible. Your money is based off of debt. That's why everyone's so happy to give you a credit card. They give you a credit card, they print money. That's more money for them. Believe it or not. It's just made up. I mean, it's a little bit more complex than that, but the soup to nuts of it is, it's fake. So here you are spending your entire life going after fake things and ruining the planet because of it. And that's horrible. And I don't really think that you should do that. You know, obviously right now in the system that we're in, you need to earn money to do things and get them done, right? But beyond that, you should be growing your own food and doing as much as you can for yourself and the people around you. And your community should get together and do as much as they can. Because when you get the community together, you have more things that you can do. Because you have different people with different skills getting together and doing things for each other, right? And you can pool your resources together to do bigger projects. Like a, you know, a community wind farm or a community solar farm or something like that. And then you are all tied into it, right? And then none of you need the power company anymore, right? Or maybe you're even using so little electricity that you're able to sell money back to the power company to fund other community projects. And your kids are out there and they're playing together and they're working together and they're meeting each other. And the parents are all around because you're all working together, right? So you're watching your kids, you know? Instead, what we have is this life that's completely structured around work and schedules and being busy. And, you know, so we go to work and our kids go to school and all that's scheduled out. And then after school, we have, you know, elk clubs and this club and that club and yoga class and spin class and this class and that class. And the kids have baseball and soccer and football and hockey and softball and all that stuff, and it's all like planned out. Every minute of everyone's day is planned out and stressed out and done, you know. And for what? Why? What's the value in that? The value of having everyone stressed out all the time, living by a schedule, right? I don't see value in it. I don't see anything. I see, you know, coming home and hanging out and getting something done that helps. Whether it be community garden, my cousin's very good with that. I have a cousin who like runs kind of her community garden, or she's like really involved in it. She does great. She like really gets into it and does a great job growing stuff. I don't really have space in my suburban sprawl hell to do a community garden, really, but once the house is done, I will do a front yard garden, because I can't do a backyard garden because my brother's horrible dogs, which you hear occasionally in the background barking, because they're horrible and that's what they do, they bark. So, that being said, I will do a front yard garden. I will do as much as I can. And I will share whatever I grow that I don't need. Because why would I let that go to waste? I saw this horrible picture the other day of, I forget where in California, where they grow all the lettuce. And basically, they had all these bags of lettuce that still had like 2 weeks left before their expiration date. But they couldn't deliver them anywhere because nobody had ordered them. So instead of giving that food to some place that could use it, they threw it all in the dump. So the plastic bags will sit there in the dump and the lettuce will rot. And it'll rot inside the plastic bag, which really makes sense. And it'll just sit there forever, rotting. In plastic. Seriously? This is the best we can do? I don't think so. I think we can do better. France actually just passed a great law where unused, unsold produce in stores needs to be given to a soup kitchen, homeless shelter type situation so that the people that need it get it, because nobody was going to buy it anyway, right? It's still good. Nobody's going to buy it. Why are you throwing it away? You know, what's the statistic? We have 6 homes for every 1 homeless person in this country. 6 abandoned homes. So nobody's living in them. Nobody's doing anything with them. Nobody's making money off of them, nothing. Well, technically, whoever owns them, the bank, whatever, they get to write them off as a loss, right? Great. Because they need more money. But, so they write them off as a loss. They get a tax break. But the fact is that you take 1/6 of those homes and you just give them to people that need homes, and we have no homeless people left. You know, like, oh well, you know, in Utah and Salt Lake City they're building tiny little homes for people. Well, they could just have regular sized homes because there are enough of them and we don't need them. If everybody that has a home, right, doesn't need a home, you don't need another home once you have a home, right? So everybody that has some sort of domicile doesn't need one. For everyone that doesn't have a domicile, you have 6 empty houses. Where's the demand for houses there? I don't understand that. Where's the demand in the market? So take 1/6 of your stockpile of empty homes and give them to the people that need them. And maybe those people need help. Don't get me wrong. This isn't like a free thing, because these people probably will, a lot of them will need help adjusting. A lot of them will need help, because who really chooses to be homeless? Who says, I want to go live on the street, right? Not a lot of people. Either people in horrible situations or people who don't have the cognitive abilities to just keep their head down and move along with regular society, right? People a little bit further out there than me, put it that way. And, you know, why? Why do we allow them to just suffer? Why do we allow suffering in the world? That's the thing. You know, everyone says, oh, you know, why is there suffering in the world? Well, because we allow it. We let it happen. We actually, at times, encourage it to happen. Because we encourage the system that causes it. And we do. We have a system that causes suffering. Everything's value-based, so some people need to have less, because if everyone had the same amount, there'd be no value to anything, right? So some people have less because some people have more. So, and the people who have more, the more they get, and the less they give other people, the more they have, and the gap grows, right? And we're seeing that now. We're actually getting reports of that, how we're having the biggest level of income inequality since the Gilded Age, and it may be beyond that at this point. I'm not 100% sure. The Gilded Age was called the Gilded Age because the really wealthy people were really super wealthy compared to the rest of everybody, and they gilded everything. The Newport Mansions, if you've ever seen them, those were all from the Gilded Age. Of course, a bunch of those people died on the Titanic, so, you know, because it was the society thing to do, and crashed into an iceberg. So, I guess that kind of worked out for them. But my point being, all that money saved them. My point being that, you know, for some people to have more, other people have to have less. And we cause that suffering. And then the people in the middle, some people more comfortably in the middle than others, but the people in the middle sit there and they encourage it. Oh, well, I could be that rich one day. Got news for you. Chances are no. No, you can't be that rich one day. And you're not going to be able to take it with you, and you're not really going to be able to leave much for your children anyway. So maybe help everyone out, and by helping everyone out and sticking together, we can raise all the boats. And that's a thing. Because we're like in this like whole, and this is kind of like what the Pope's talking about, right? So we're in this whole thing where like everyone's out for themselves because, well, screw those people. I need to get mine, right? It's all about mine. But the fact is that if you're just looking out for yours and you're not organizing and helping out the people around you, the people that already have stuff want to keep it. They're not there to hand out their money, right? That's not what they're going to do. So they're not going to hand out their money. And they're not going to give it over. And if you're not organized, if you're not all fighting together for a common cause, which is raising everyone up, they have no incentive, you know? Because, oh, well, you know, the factory owner deserves the money because he owns the factory and those people wouldn't be able to work. Well, if he didn't own the factory and that whatever's being made is truly a needed item, somebody else would own the factory. The fact is that the people that are working in the factory, that are making the product, make it possible. So if everybody in the factory were to say, well, I'm not going to work anymore and I'm not going to do this, then the owner would have to say, okay, what do I need to do to get you to work? And that's what a union is, right? That's what a union is, everybody working together to make sure that they are getting an equitable share from the labor that they put in to produce a product, theoretically. Unfortunately, we don't see the value in that anymore. And everybody just wants what's best for them. Screw everyone else. And I'm speaking broad generalities, of course, and it's just, you know, whatever. So, that's where we're at. The fact is, got to get rid of the inequality, got to take care of the environment. We're all in this together. I mean, we are. And, you know, I'm talking about rich and poor and everything, but we're all in this together. Rich and poor. Doesn't matter. You know, the rich aren't going to be flying off to another planet. Not yet, at least. Even they can't afford that. Which, speaking of which, we should be spending more money on NASA than we are. A lot more money on NASA than we are. Not because we should be flying off to other planets, although we should. But we should be exploring. It's what we should be doing. And if everyone got together and said, this is what we're going to do, we're going to explore the universe, and we just did that, we'd be okay. I'm telling you, we would be okay. Because eventually we would learn that we're not alone in the universe, and that we really need to stick together as a people to go out and reach out to these other beings and say, hey, you know, here we are, we're pretty cool, you pretty cool, and, you know, let's exchange ideas and learn even more, right? Because, I mean, there's too many possibilities for life that we're going to find it. It's out there, but it's not going to find us. You know why it's not going to find us? Because we don't have anything worth finding right now. We don't. We're not an advanced civilization. If you could travel all the way across the galaxy or the universe to locate Earth, what good is it for you to come down here and deal with us in any way, shape, or form? What are we going to give you? We're not going to give you anything. We don't have anything to offer the rest of the universe right now. Nuclear bombs? They just traveled across the universe. You don't think that they can split the atom? Come on. We have nothing for them. We haven't done anything. We built some pyramids. Ooh, we landed on the moon. Whoa. We have nothing. We don't even have a working fusion reactor yet. I mean, yes, tokamak design works, but it doesn't actually produce any power. At most, it's a wash. And that's not good. Although Boeing does have a new design. Well, it's not really a new design. It's an old theory. They are picking it up, and they believe they can actually create power out of this design. It's the first time anybody anywhere is going to try a non-tokamak design reactor and expect it to actually work. So it'll be good. I'm interested to see in how they end up doing, and it's actually a much smaller design, more efficient, obviously, if it's going to actually produce power eventually. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens. So kudos to Boeing for that. Speaking of which, everyone at my work, shut up. We're not going to get bought by anyone. They're going to just spin us off. Although we're going to find out in a week. I'll probably be wrong and everyone will be like, oh. But no, seriously, shut up. I'm tired of listening to everyone complain. These are the things, though. These are the things that we should be paying attention to, right? How are we producing our power? How are we producing our food? You know, what are we doing for each other? What are we doing for the survival of the human race? And what are we doing to make human beings worthwhile? What has the human race actually done that's worthwhile? I want you to think about that. We've made it to the moon. That's the best we can say we've done. We've committed genocide. We've tried to exterminate all different peoples off the planet at one point or another. We've exterminated a whole bunch of different animal species. We created TV and radio, you know, sitcoms. Is that our great achievement? As human beings, is that what we got? Sitcoms and 8 billion people? Because 8 billion people really isn't that much of a, you know, awesome thing either, considering that we're kind of starting to stretch everything to the limit at this point. Because we're poisoning the environment so much that we're kind of making it hard to sustain 8 billion people. I think it's coming up on 9 billion soon. So what have we done as a species, right? This is my big question. What have we done? And we haven't really done anything. We're about to get to Pluto. That's pretty cool. We got a satellite we sent out to Pluto. And other objects out there. We've gotten one satellite past the actual solar system. We're actually out. So we have one thing that's gone outside the solar system. You know, and that's it. That's all we've done. You know? Great. Somebody climbed Everest. Now everyone climbs Everest. Great. Somebody made it to the South Pole. Everyone's going to the South Pole. But, you know, we don't have any really, as a species, no great accomplishments. Capitalism, genocide, slavery. I'm quoting a propaganda song now. Sitcoms. This is your human history. This is what we've done. I don't see the value in that. I don't. You know? Are we really making the best use of our time as we possibly can? I don't think that we are. These are the things, and, you know, these, like I said, these are the things that I think about when I'm running. This is what goes through my head when I'm out there on the road. And my feet are pounding on the pavement, and muscles are aching, and I'm sore, and whatever. These are the actual thoughts that go through my head. I leave out the stuff about, like, girls and stuff like that, because who wants to hear about that? I don't mean, maybe you do. If you want to hear my thoughts on girls, they're specific girls. It's not, like, in general, but, you know, a lot of relationship things go through my head and whatnot while I'm running, too. A lot of things go through my head, but these are the things I think really have a bearing for everybody. You know, there's nobody that isn't affected by these things that I think about when I'm running, you know. And it's just, it's what happens. I'm out there on the road and stuff pops into my brain and I just think about it. And I can't help but think about it, you know, even on in a marathon and stuff. And I will be sitting there and I'll be trying to calculate out my pace and talking to my friend or talking to this person, talking to that person, looking at the scenery and this, that, the other thing. And I still have these thoughts, right? And they just keep going. They don't stop. You know, pretty much up until the moment I go to sleep at night, my head is just running. The hamster is going full speed. And that's just the way that it is. But I think that it's good. I think it's a good thing that I think these things out and I pay attention to these things. And I think it might help that I share them with you out there, the viewer. Because, you know, how often do you really sit there and think about these things? And think about, you know, not just what are you doing, but what are we doing? You know, what is the purpose of being human? What is the purpose of living on this planet and doing what we're doing? And are we doing anything of value? I think that that's important. I think that's something that everybody should think about. And then really take stock of what they personally are doing and how they can change to make things better. Because you can't, I can't change anybody else out there. I can't change your mind. I can't change her mind. I can't change his mind. I can change my mind. I can decide to do things differently and do them differently. And that's it. And then I can share that experience with you. And that's what I'm doing. And if someone else picks up that torch and runs with it, they're only changing their mind. They're not changing my mind, they're not changing her mind, they're not changing his mind. They're just changing their mind, right? And that's it. And that's all this is me just explaining to you what goes through my head and how it then pertains to what I decide to do in my life. You know? So, I want to make a difference in some way. So, I got my teaching certificate to teach English, right? To speakers of other languages. I can go throughout the world, teach English to people. And I think that's a valuable skill. I think communicating is very valuable. If I didn't, why would I be doing this, right? So, you know, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to get out there and do. And I want to run and have fun. And when I'm running, I'm spreading positivity. You know, I'm being supportive of the people around me, the runners around me. I don't know all of them. I don't know most of them. It doesn't matter. I want to see everyone do the best that they can every time out. And you know what? Sometimes the best that a 3-hour marathoner can do is like a 4-hour marathon. Because whatever, you know, whatever hit them that day is what hit them that day. And they can't do it. But it doesn't matter if you're slower than your PR or whatnot. As long as you do the best you can at that moment. You know, and I always try and do the best that I can at that moment. Sometimes I do horribly. Sometimes I am a horrible person. It happens to all of us. We break down. We slip. We do. I mean, like, not horrible. Like, I'm not going to go out and, like, you know, hit someone or something like that. But, I mean, like, you know, I feel like I failed. And that's okay. It's okay to fail. It's okay to not always be 100% your best. Because some days you're just not going to be there. Some days you're just not going to have everything going for you like I did today. Today was a very bad day for me. I was getting hammered at work. I was getting... somebody broke into the house that's being fixed. And... stole all the drywall contractor's tools, all the extension cords that were there, and then cut the extension cord that goes between the general contractor's house, because he's my neighbor, and my house. And that's kind of really fucked up. I mean, I get it. People, oh, well, you know, insurance. But listen, okay? When you're stealing from other people, and nobody stole anything from me. None of this was my stuff. It just happened to be in the house that I grew up in and in the house that I will go back to shortly. Nobody stole anything from me. But when you steal from people, and you don't have to, and I get it, in the system that we're in, there are times, you know, like, people need a loaf of bread and they can't afford a loaf of bread and they steal a loaf of bread. So they go in and that's what they do. That's what they get, right? But when you steal from other people and you don't have to, because frankly, if you're stealing drywall contractors' tools, you don't have to do that. What are you going to do? Open up your own drywall business? I don't think so. So, you know, it's just, you know, there's no reason to do it. Just none. Because, you know, what did you just do? Well, here I have a 95-year-old grandmother who wants nothing more than to get back in the house that her and her husband bought in 1951 and built. And now you've delayed that another, you know, week, 2 weeks, because what? I'm not judging what they needed the money for. I don't really care. But, you know, really? So it was a target of opportunity and you decided to go for it because, you know, it was easy for you? And then why cut that? Why cut that wire? You know? Why do that? You gonna sell the copper and the extension cord? I mean, that's just a shitty thing to do. Is a really shitty thing to do, because, you know, all you're doing is delaying some little old lady from getting back in her house. So don't steal, you know, and if you have to steal, do it smartly, but don't just go into random people's homes and take shit. That's just shitty, you know, because as I said, you just delayed some little old lady from getting back in her home. So how do you feel about that? Right? All right. On the upside, Brantford Road Race this weekend. Can't wait to give you a rundown. Walkway Marathon was a lot of fun. I forgot to get to that. My God. Walkway Marathon was a lot of fun. I've already talked about it a bit. But it was very nice. Beautiful views. The sun was brutal, though. The sun coming off the walkway was tough. Although, running across the Hudson River on a pedestrian bridge was very cool. But the start, I realized, was the inaugural year, but the start was like straight uphill for the first mile. It was kind of brutal. But then you got straight downhill for the last mile, right? It was actually mile 0.75, I believe, was uphill to start. So it was kind of, you know, there were first year jitters, there were some bugs that they need to work out, and they'll get there. As I said, I don't know that I'm going back, though. So it was cool, but, you know, it was fun. Jeep performed well getting up there and get back. I got 17.5 miles per gallon. That's pretty awesome. For a vehicle that's older than my last girlfriend and needs to be rebuilt. So, anyway, we'll see you guys next week. I gotta run. Have fun. Keep running. And we will see you soon.